Are you ready, Steve?
You're muted.
Good evening. Nice to sit with you tonight. Being quiet and still for a period of time does something, for me anyway. So tonight, I want to talk about how our meditation practice is revolutionary. It's like we're experiencing a revolution within every time we sit. Do you feel that? We're experiencing a revolution within every time we sit. So I'm going to get back to the revolution within, but first I want to talk about the importance of establishing a daily practice that enables this revolution to occur. And then I want to go, or want to say more about the revolution within that takes place when our practice is established. Goethe, the German philosopher, says, "Until one is committed, there is always hesitancy. The chance to draw back, always ineffectiveness. Concerning all acts of initiative and creation, there is one elementary truth, the ignorance of which kills countless ideas and splendid plans. That the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too." He says, all sorts of things occur to help one that would never otherwise have occurred. He says a whole stream of events issues from the decision raising to one's favor, all manner of unforeseen incidents in meetings and material assistance, which no one could ever have dreamed would come her way. Now, isn't that interesting? End of the quote. That's interesting because one of the things that I've said through my own experience and knowing others, that something happens when we start committed to a daily practice. I've said to you before, it's like there's something that supports us, you know. I can't identify it, nor can he, but he knows it's there once there's a commitment. And I certainly have experienced that. So really going within takes a plan. We've got to have a plan of how to establish ourselves where everything that's been taught has a place, a resonance. So we're not conditioned, you know, to be quiet and still, but this is what happens. Practice builds momentum through our own experience. We begin by learning how to meditate, but of course, the plan is not going to go as the Buddha describes or anybody else if we don't make the commitment. And it takes a while for most of us anyway to develop a daily practice. But that is really, 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 let me say it one more time, really where most of our practice should occur. It doesn't matter how long we sit, as long as we do it consistently. So just sitting and pausing for 5 minutes establishes what the Buddha, well, let's just say it establishes us to the point where we can hear deeper what the Buddha is trying to say. And so when we set up this formal practice, then we can intend to stay in the present moment all day long. So that's our practice. Sit down, be quiet, be still for a period of time. It doesn't matter how long, each day. And then set an intention. We've talked about setting an intention, and it's not a goal, but it's saying to oneself and to anyone else who is listening that you intend to go in that direction, so that when you don't, that's still part of the plan. You know, you're not failing, it's not a goal. But setting the intention will support your effort. So, and then we start the day with setting the intention to be mindful throughout the day. And we can already see that we all practice once a week. We know that because we come to the Sangha. So we can plant another seed, again, of intentions, not to push ourselves or add more stress to ourselves. That's the last thing we want with this practice. But we can plant these seeds to slowly but surely be able to practice for the whole week and see and experience what that brings. So when practice occurs each day, all week for us, and this is something that Randy and I do, but it's taken us a long while, where we practice every day. But for us, what it's done for us, there's no way we could appreciate being 77 years old and still breathing and still living and still loving and still, being in life. There's no way without this practice. Sometimes I see faces in the grocery store of people, everybody's always older than me, that, that looks old. And I want to say, you look depressed, darling. Meditate. You just look so depressed. You see it in their faces and in their bodies. And, I want to say, there can be happiness, more happiness in old age. So we've seen it. We've experienced it. We haven't done it perfectly, but we've committed to it. And now it somehow takes a hold of you. It takes a hold of us. It becomes a way of life. And it doesn't have to be difficult. And, because what I have found and what I've heard others say, that we probably won't stay on this particular path for any length of time until this is established. Now, that's saying a lot. But at least putting ourselves in that direction, pointing ourselves in that direction, because it seems like the curriculum, or whatever we're trying to see about ourselves or know about what's going on in life, is not going to open to us, really open to us, until we get quiet and still. And you think, well, gosh, that's so simple. Well, we all know it's not. And it has a lot to do with how we're conditioned. But we can train ourselves. That's exactly what we're doing. And we can get quiet and still for periods of time during the week. Because we're hearing, we're speaking, we're talking, we're reading, you know, all about the Buddha Dharma. But it's not, it won't be enough. You'll burn out. Because why? Well, we're using the mind to hear it, mind and body to hear it. But the mind and body is not ready to hear it until it is settled in being quiet and still. So, and these are ancient teachings. And so we want to be receptive. And that's why the mindful meditation is so important, because it sets us up to be receptive or conditioned or trained to hear these ancient teachings. Because the teachings may not be understood deeply until we develop a daily practice. Because it's the experience. It's experiential. All of this experiential. So that's a big, huge part of the practice. So I want to just encourage you to do that, not to make you more miserable, but just encourage you, because you'll see it change. You know, Goethe's right. Once the commitment is there, I don't know how it happens, the support comes. And so I want to tell you about Mariposa Sangha in Austin, which some of you have visited before. It's a sister Sangha, and we know most of the people that lead that Sangha. But they offer online every morning from 7 to 8 a meditation. Now, they're not going to talk, or you're not going to have a discussion, or you're not going to, you know, but you're going to have a Sangha to sit with. And as I understand it, you know, it's just going to be there for that amount of time online. And so if you go to the Mariposa online website, I'll send that out to you. Then, as I understand, you can show up when, you know, you have to be quiet. Show up in a good way, or leave very nicely in a nice way where there's not a disruption, but you don't have to sit the whole hour. So we can piecemeal, we can do a little at a time that builds into a better practice. So thank you, Mariposa, for doing that, and I'll send you that link. Now, what I just said sets the stage for the next part of this lesson. The next part of this lesson is that there is a revolution going on within. Because if we sit daily, we are actually shifting from ignorance to wisdom, from attachment to freedom, from suffering to peace. That is what is offered to us. So, in the way we relate to ourselves first, that has really the impact of how we relate to the world. And really how we relate to nature and our existence. So we've been talking about that. It's called self-compassion. Again, a very simple thing, being nice to oneself, but we know how difficult it is because of our conditioning. So this path requires dedication to practicing mindfulness, ethical living. You know, we're nice people. We know the Eightfold Path. It shows us, it points us. And really a willingness to let go of our deeply, and you know this, deeply ingrained patterns of thoughts and behaviors. Because that's what we're going to see, and that's not easy. So this is actually what the Buddha experienced during his enlightenment and what he encouraged the rest of us to undertake through our own spiritual practice. So he left his life of luxury to search for the truth, because when he got out of the gates of the kingdom, he saw things that he had not seen before. But he wasn't leaving just luxury. He was a prince. So he's leaving his life of luxury to find out, turns out for all of us, what it takes. What it takes to be 100% human being. And when we see that, feel that, work towards that, with all the things that come with that, happiness follows. But like some of us, while we haven't seen the truth to the degree maybe that the Buddha did, we are seeing for ourselves that things are not as they appear. Things are not as they appear. And going out of the gates of luxury and comfort, he began to search. And some of us know the story. He did a lot of suffering and a lot of things to himself that was just so unnecessary, I guess. It was necessary in order for him to leave a legacy that would teach us, because we don't have to go through all that. All the things he went through, he almost killed himself. So thank goodness we don't have to do the research. And with the age of information, it's so wonderful. It's at the ancient teachings you can get online. Isn't that amazing? And he did, in order to find a path to more happiness. So let's go back to the concept of bringing about a revolution within. In the context of Buddhist teachings, refers to a profound transformation. And it's within, not outside. It's within. It's the inner transformation. A complete shift in how we perceive reality, how we perceive ourselves, how we see life itself. It's revolutionary, is it not? I mean, I can remember thinking, oh, I wish I didn't know this. You know, I like the comfort of ignorance or the comfort of this sense of false security that develops in the way that we are conditioned. So it shakes loose from our tightly held views and opinions. So this inner revolution is what the Buddha experienced during his enlightenment, and what he encouraged others to undertake in their own spiritual practice. So inner revolution begins by recognizing this ignorance and setting out on the path to replace it with wisdom. That's what we're doing. And this is not an intellectual knowledge. I mean, that's part of it. Our minds and bodies can benefit from the Buddha Dharma for sure. But a deep experiential understanding may not come to us without the practice and understanding that life is impermanent and that there is not a separate self. There is a no self, or that we are all connected, that everything is interdependent, nature of all things. That's revolutionary. I don't think that's such a word, but I mean, that's a revolution. So we've been talking about how important self-compassion and its relationship to our ego is to our practice because, again, I'm going to bring home, self-compassion is a practice of readiness for truths that are difficult to hear and understand. No self, emptiness, constant change, impermanence. We talk about dying all the time. And it's all in flux. You know? So by understanding the ego, and we've talked about that, one can stop as much clinging to what we've been conditioned to. It loosens us from our roles or who we think we are with our identities and our desires. And it teaches us how to relate to them. You know, I've said, nothing changes, but everything changes. And what changes is that how we relate to our lives, how we relate every day to everyday life. And so, in conclusion, I've talked about the must of daily practice, just pointing ourselves in that direction, just reminders, and that we are practicing a revolution within. It's difficult. It's hard. We all know it. And to begin to comprehend that this is all impermanent. This is not going to be like this forever. So the preparation for this impermanence, it is important. I mean, just like it's supported me through old age so far, then, you know, I've told you this before, I'm relying on it as I'm dying or while I'm dying or when I die. So it's important what we're doing here. Very, very important, and it's a real pleasure to share it with you. And it's so nice to know that there are people on this planet who want to share that we know things are not as they appear, but there are ways to reconcile that, where our life is a lot more balanced. So with that, I'm going to stop, and then Randy will come up and we'll talk about it.